Turn again, please, in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, please, in chapter 4. My text for this evening is verse 7 of that chapter. I'm going to read it again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let's just look to the Lord together in prayer now, praying that the Lord would give help in the preaching part, and also that the Lord would use his word to speak to the hearts of all who've gathered here. Father in heaven, we do thank thee tonight again for our living hope. We thank thee, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the great cornerstone. Thank thee, Lord, for all of his merit tonight. Thank thee, Father, for the efficacy of his blood. We thank thee, Lord, for his righteousness imputed by faith to those that believe. And Father, we pray this evening as we turn to this word just now, we pray, Lord, that every distracting thought concerning tomorrow, even legitimate things, that those things might be put to one side. And we ask that God would close us in with himself, that our attention might be focused upon judgment day reality. Father, we pray that God the Holy Spirit might encourage the hearts of those who know the Lord and stir up our hearts. And Lord, for any who know him not, Father, we pray that conviction would come as never before and the men and women turn while the Saviour in mercy is calling. We look to thee now as we turn to this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. When I lived in Yorkshire, as most of you know, I did live there for over 5 years. When I lived there, there were several occasions on which I travelled down, the way down to Luton Airport, and picked up my brother at the airport, and we travelled on down around London and down to Surrey. And as I was travelling down those motorways, they impressed upon me a whole new idea of traffic volume. Because there was an enormous amount of traffic going southward, heading down towards the south of England, and there was an equally enormous amount of traffic heading upwards. In fact, when you consider both highways, as it were, there were one lot of people who were heading south, and another equally large lot of people who were heading north. And when you think of that tonight, it illustrates something which the Lord Jesus Christ made very clear when he walked among men. And that was that every one of us are travelers on one or other of two highways. Over there in the book of Matthew in chapter 7, I'll read the two verses. It says in verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Every one of us tonight are being borne along, as it were, on the arms of time, on one of these two highways. You're either on that narrow highway spoken of in verse 14, and you've entered in at the straight gate, or else you're on that broad highway, and tonight finds you still traveling, it seems, without let up, pressing on day after day toward the destruction that is brought very forcibly to our attention in that verse 13. Those who are saved by God's grace are on that narrow highway. You could say we're the ones who are heading upward. But those who have not believed on Christ to the salvation of their souls, tonight they are still
Perhaps after being to hundreds and hundreds of meetings, they're still on that broad road that Christ said many were on. You see, the fact tonight is, folks, that we are all travellers on a journey. And that's brought to our attention at various times when we come to this time of the year, and I've said it to some people already, and maybe they have said similar words to me. Isn't it remarkable how time seems to fly by? Doesn't seem very long since we were preparing for our carol service last year. And when it comes to this time of the year, when a year that's almost spent is drawing to a close, and we look forward to the dawning of another year, it is at that time that sometimes we think of opportunities that have been presented. They'll never be back. Opportunities, perhaps, that the Christian has had, they won't be back either. We think of particular circumstances. They'll never return for us. And we look back over this past year, and as we approach the new year, we think, well, we're coming really to what is another milestone along the journey of life. And the fact is brought very clearly to our attention that we are irresistibly, in spite of whatever highway you're on, whether you're on the broad road or the narrow road, we are irresistibly being borne along towards eternity. It's a year less for us to serve the Lord in. It's a year nearer heaven for the Christian. But if you're not saved tonight, it's a year less to repent in. And as the weeks and months of this past year have disappeared, it's another year for you to repent of. You're a year closer to eternal darkness than you were last year. You're a year closer almost to eternal separation that we read of in the Gospels. For as far as you're concerned, that is a year closer now. You're a year closer to facing God on the judgment day than you were last year. You're a year closer to hearing the awful pronouncement, "Depart from me, ye cursed." Whatever our standing is tonight, we, when it comes to this time of year, we tend to look forward and hope that next year is a good year. If you're a Christian, you're hoping it's a good year for the work of God. We'll all be hoping it's a good year for us and our families. But not only do we look forward at this time of the year, sometimes we look back. And as you search your heart tonight, you may have to say, well, as I look back, I spent the past 12 months rejecting Christ, just as I did the year before that. And the year before that, and the year before that. And we spent another year refusing His mercy, and tonight still finds us out of grace. You know, the Lord Jesus has something to say concerning those who have rejected Him during this past year. If you return and look with me again, please, at our text tonight, verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 4, bearing in mind what we have said, I want to draw your attention briefly to three things. Because the Lord in this verse has something to say to you. First of all, when you look at that verse, we can conclude that every person here has a listening past. You have a listening past. You have already heard the voice of the Lord, and of that I am convinced. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was the chief spokesman. Of course, He is God in the flesh, but He was the chief spokesman for God. He came bearing one of the titles regarding Himself. He's called the Word of God. And Christ came not only to preach the word, but to give His life for sinful men. And when He did die and rise again, He ascended up into the Father's presence with a promise. And the promise was that He would send His Spirit, that is, the Holy Ghost. And the voice of God, and this comes from the lips of Christ Himself, would bring the message of God across the earth, wherever the gospel would be preached in all of its fullness. And there is that voice tonight that is far superior and is far above the voice of any preacher. People always have an opinion, you're entitled to it, regarding preachers. Some people say, oh, I don't like him, he shouts all the time. Others say, well, I don't like him, his voice really, I can't hear him. Other people say, well, he's got a very squeaky voice, or he's got a very deep voice, or whatever your opinion might be, but there's another voice. There's a voice, men and women, that is far above the voice of the preacher. And every Christian here can testify to that fact, because beyond the voice of the preacher, there is the voice of God the Holy Spirit to your heart. And as I mentioned just a second or two ago, every Christian can remember that time when they heard that voice. And they heard it in such a way that they were enabled to turn from their sin and embrace Jesus Christ as he was offered to them in the gospel. Because the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to convict and convince of your need. And he is able to do that far beyond the ability of any preacher. I think it's fair tonight to say that you've heard that voice in the meetings. You've heard that voice in the meetings when people sit and listen to the preaching of the word. God ordains way to reach men and women, preaching of the gospel. It is true to say that men and women have said many a time that they felt the Lord knocking at their heart's door. We read over there in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And even though those words were written to a Christian church which were departing from the Lord, by and large, sometimes they're used and can be used with application to the unconverted. God is standing at the door and he's knocking. And then as he's knocked at your heart's door in the meetings, your state has been revealed. You saw sin perhaps in a whole new light. Something that was eroding your life. Something that was demanding dominion in your life. Something that was detrimental to your happiness and certainly to your soul's well-being. And as Christ knocked at your heart, your state was revealed, because God the Holy Spirit, his voice, was speaking to your heart. But not only has your state been revealed, your substitute has been revealed. It is the aim of the preacher to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek to focus men's attention upon him, to make much of his impeccable life, yes, and his atoning death, of his bodily resurrection, his literal ascension, and to make much of the fact that he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The day that we fail to get there in preaching is the day that we fail altogether. But I trust that in our meetings, God the Holy Spirit has impressed upon your heart not only your true state, but your substitute, the one who died for sinful men. There is another impression, I believe, that is made upon the hearts of people in the meetings, not only their state revealed and the substitute revealed, but their solemn end is pictured. The preacher certainly, and we can say this tonight before the Lord, that we would not wish anything, any ill on any of you. In fact, we would wish the very best for all of you tonight. But in faithfulness to the Lord and in faithfulness to your soul, in preaching, we must bring before your attention your end if you die without Christ. Because the Bible speaks of two places. One is heaven and one is hell. And the two highways that I mentioned tonight, one highway leads to that place called heaven. It's a narrow highway. It's a road that leads to heaven and home. And the other highway, make no mistake about it tonight, there are many on it, and it leads to eternal damnation and separation from all that is good and separation from the Lord. The voice of God has spoken through his Holy Spirit in the meetings, but I think I could go further and say that voice has spoken in your memory. I was speaking to a man some time ago, and he mentioned to me another person that we both know that is not saved, who has been in gospel meetings for years and years and years. And he said to that man, when the occasion came up that he could do that and witness to him, he said, surely you think about these things. And he turned to the preacher and he said, quite to the preacher's surprise, He says, I think about these things all the time. Dear friends, that was probably the best part of 10 years ago, and that man tonight is still only thinking about these things. I have no doubt that he thinks about times and meetings when the Lord spoke to his heart and his memory. Because of his memory, he recognizes that far beyond the voice of the preacher, there is another voice. And as far as he was concerned, just as it is for so many in this country, he has a listening past. Yes, he's heard many a preacher, but he heard a far greater voice than that, calling out as the gospel was offered, speaking to his heart, showing him his need of Jesus Christ. You see what it says there in our text? It says, if you hear his voice, see, if you're unconverted, you have already in days gone past heard that voice. It sounded to your heart. It's perhaps spoken to your conscience concerning your need. We could go on tonight and say that it's spoken to your conscience concerning your need and shown you that your need was unfulfilled. Remember, the rich young ruler came to the Lord. He had much going for him. He came running to the Lord. That was a good sign. He was anxious that something needed to change. But remember concerning him those words, what lack I yet? Search your heart tonight. Are you truly fulfilled? Have you found contentment in what you have? Or would you have to say in the words that we sang earlier on, I'm still trying the broken cisterns, Lord. And the water's failing. And the water will continue to fail. Because not only is your need unfulfilled, your need is unending. It's unending. And dear friends, we would wish you to listen very carefully at this time, because there's a question in the Bible, and it simply is, how long have I to live? You answer that tonight if you can. You can't. How long have I to live? You see, as we come towards the end of another year, we're coming towards, perhaps even tonight, the very last opportunity for men and women to hear. Need that is unfulfilled. Need that is unending. Need that is urgent. Was it W.P. Nicholson in preaching that said there is about a heartbeat between you and them? And in those days when he was preaching, way back in the 1920s, God the Holy Spirit did speak to the hearts of men and women. But maybe for you tonight, as you think of your listening past, maybe that voice that has been far louder and clearer than the preacher's could ever be, maybe that voice has been unsought. And maybe you fit into the category of those who said, we will not have this man to rule over us, as long as you said that for. We will not have that man, this man to rule over us. It's been a voice that's been unsought. It's been a voice that has been unwelcome because it's unsettled you in your sin. It's a voice that has been unheeded because you have hardened your heart. Look at the words of our text. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's remarkable how men and women do harden their hearts. Something written there in Proverbs chapter 29. Maybe you have turned to that chapter in verse 1 about the hardening of the heart. Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 1 it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You see where it says there, being often reproved. Here is someone who has a listening past. They've heard it all before. They've heard the same message, and perhaps they are wrongly entertaining the thought that somehow, because things haven't really changed yet, that they will never change. Men and women, they will change. As we see before the end of this message. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That word hardeneth is a word in the original that refers to an ox. Very interesting reference. It refers to an ox. and to the yoke, the wooden yoke that was put upon the ox's neck. And with the ox walking along all the time with the yoke on its neck, it was rubbing its neck and the skin would become really, really hard. Now look at that thought in the context. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. You see, the word suddenly carries the thought. He didn't really see it here. He didn't see his danger. He didn't see his state. He didn't expect his opportunities to end. It says shall suddenly be destroyed literally means shattered. The word referring to a potter's vessel being smashed in pieces. Here's an awful picture of the sinner. One who has hardened his heart time and time again. Oh yes, he's heard the word all right. But he thought he would hear it again and again and again. And there's no remedy for him, it says there. It says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He's left with absolutely no hope. Now you think again just for a wee moment about the yoke there. The yoke rubbing against the neck of the oxen, making the skin harder and harder. You have a yoke tonight. And if you're not converted, it's the yoke of sin. And the longer you go on bearing that yoke of sin, the harder your heart will become. The Lord Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're still in your sin tonight, your burden's not easy and your burden's not light. And that yoke of sin that you still bear will make your heart harder and harder and harder until finally, as it says here, you're left without a remedy. There's no way around that tonight for you. You have a listening past, just like the person referred to in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, but tonight still finds you, perhaps like old Felix long ago when he thought of a more convenient season. Some other time. He said that last December. And the December before that as well. But not only in this verse do we have, are we presented with the fact that you have a listening past. You've already heard the voice of God in preaching and testimony. God even has spoken perhaps as you've read gospel literature. But there's not only the listening past here. There is, I believe, loving patience. For let's look carefully again at the verse. It says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, in other words, referring to David in the Psalms, today after so long a time. Can you remember tonight the first time that you heard that the Lord Jesus wanted to bring to your heart peace? That he wanted to give you joy. That he wanted to bring forgiveness and cleansing to your soul. Can you remember that? And can you not say as the years have gone by, surely the Lord has displayed towards me loving patience because it's been so long a time. It's been so long a time since the Lord first spoke in his word. If you read Hebrews chapter 12 in your own time, there's reference there to Israel and the very edge of the promised land. The voice of God had spoken to them. They were to enter into blessing. Yes, there were difficulties there, as we mentioned when we studied Caleb and so on. But the Lord would overcome those enemies. The blessings would be theirs, their portion, if they would go in. But they didn't listen to God's voice. Well, that may perhaps be wrong. They listened to his voice in the sense that they did know what he was saying, but they didn't apply it. They didn't appropriate it to their own situation. But rather, they listened to the voice of men. God left them to wonder. And that voice, men and women, wanted blessing for the people. And tonight again we have to say that that same voice is speaking. And where the gospel is preached across the earth, the gospel points to the Lord Jesus Christ. All men are sinners by nature and practice. May do their best, but they're still sinners nonetheless. Still many defects. And for all men, the river of death will come. And as you think back tonight, for so long a time the Lord has been speaking to you. He's been giving to you opportunity. after opportunity. Maybe you say, well, the preacher has said it time and time again. But if you're honest tonight, has there not been another voice that has said to your heart, I believe what the preacher has said is true. You do need the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God speaks tonight in this verse about the passing of years. Time going by. Today, after so long a time. And yet he's still saying, today if you hear his voice, dear friend, what holds you back tonight? Is whatever's holding you back from Christ really worth going to hell for? Would not be right tonight that you have to admit that God has displayed great patience toward you. Patience that are unparalleled. It's good to have patience. When you have children, you need patience. If you have a wife or husband, you must have patience. I don't mean that disrespectfully. But we need patience. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes. You see, there's no patience like the patience of the Lord. It is unparalleled. Cast your mind away back to your younger days. The Lord was patient then. Through young adulthood, he was patient then. And for many tonight, into the latter years of their life, God has been patient. Yes, his patience is unparalleled, but it is unlasting. If women and men and women would only grasp that fact. You see, after so long a time, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why? Look at the beginning of the verse. Again, he limiteth a certain day. You see, the danger with our limited understanding is this, that we can get ourselves into a weak comfort zone and we think, well, I've heard those stories from when I was a little boy or a little girl at Sunday school. They're great. It's not that the story is great. The story is an exhortation and a challenge and a warning to your heart. But the problem is that you've done exactly what the old ox does with the yoke on his neck. You've got harder. Your heart has hardened. And God has been patient nonetheless. In hymn 230 in our hymn book it says, while the Spirit bids you come, sinner do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom. Be in time. Are you going to be in time? Are you going to let this year travel on and travel out? And if God spurs you, commence another year without the Lord? Knowing that his voice has spoken to your heart, knowing that his patience has been exemplary toward you, far more than we deserve. But there's not only brought to our attention here the loving patience of the Lord, but there's one other thing, and it's this. It is looming peril. For we must notice that it says, he limiteth a certain day. Today, after so long a time. You see, I mentioned to you there was that time when Israel stood on the very brink and they delayed. They stood there and they delayed and their day of opportunity came. And their day of opportunity went. It went. And they perished in the wilderness. Yes, their children went into the land of Canaan, but they didn't go. And the preacher tonight is like every other preacher. He's just a message boy. And again, you may say, well, I've heard this for years and I'm still here and I still think of opportunities. That does not alter. Now listen to this. That does not alter the fact that there is a limit to God's patience and mercy. For the Bible tells us he hath appointed a day. It's the same day. A day when you will stand before the Lord. It says he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the one tonight who says to you, don't harden your heart, but rather avail yourself of this golden opportunity to come to me, make your peace with God tonight. That same one, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day will be your judge if you do not come to him. You see, you'd be a fool tonight to think that this situation that you find yourself in tonight is going to last forever, because it's not. It's not going to last forever. One day, it's going to change. And you may have shrugged your shoulders at the voice of God before, and opportunity after opportunity may have gone. But tonight, the Lord gives you another opportunity. I want to leave you just with the words of the text. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Please do not try to hide tonight. There's a verse over there in this chapter, it's verse 13. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's important you believe that verse tonight. Where it says there, naked and open, literally means is derived from a noun signifying the neck. The reference there is used in the original, referring to an animal being flayed and cut right down the length of his backbone and its whole inside shown. That's what the reference means, and the word means in the original, where it says there, opened. And if you think of that tonight, you cannot hide any sin from God. And more than that tonight, you've nowhere to hide from God. I trust tonight that if you do not know the Lord, that you will not harden your heart as in fairness you've done before, but that you will come, take the sinner's place, call upon God for mercy, and leave this building rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. May the Lord help you tonight to come and find assurance and rest as it is still for you to be found in him.